for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over like 50 years of playing PlayStation, like 20 years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We watch us record this show live where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, with comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Happy Easter, Max.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, what a nice line. Happy Easter to everyone out there. You know, we don't celebrate the Jesus side of it, but I celebrate the long weekend and the chocolate festivities. Big shout out to those things.
Big shout out to Big Chocolate.
Shout out to Big Chocolate. Because dear God, were those prices big for Big Chocolate this year. Dear God. I know, it feels like such an old man take now that we are old men.
I didn't do any of my Easter shopping until Saturday, so everything was 50% off.
Smart. And was the selection still good because no one had any money?
Yeah, the selection was still fine. Like, the kids got like one big Easter egg and then just like a packet of like those 10 hollow motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So Hadley got an Oreo Easter egg. Ollie doesn't even fucking eat chocolate, so like I'll end up eating all of his.
Sweet, good win.
Poor quality control this year. Mm. I opened a Tensky of eggs. Two of them did not even have wrappers on them. They were just fucking floating around in the box with fucking naked.
I was like, they're broken. But like, no, they're just naked.
They're just naked.
That's health and safety concerns.
They flashed me. I opened the box and he's just fucking there, bare ass naked.
Mm. Yeah, my concern around is that, is there any like contamination concerns?
He just got thrown in the bin.
Oh, good call. Good call. Jumps in and says, I remember one time we sold out a fake grass and told a person, can't you just take paper and shred it? Look, it would work. That would be some good fake grass. Also good fake kitty litter if you didn't want to buy kitty litter. Or if I learn anything from Big Daddy, you make a spill, put newspaper on it. Problem solved. Yeah. But we did some good Easter egging as well this year. Phoebe, that's like the beauty of Phoebe as part of the many things that she can do. Is one is she's good at like remembering things, so she's been really smart and being like, you know, Easter's coming up soon. I'm like, okay, cool. So we actually started getting some eggs and stuff in advance.
Rookie mistake.
Granted, we didn't.
You buy that shit last minute for the cheap eggs.
Yeah, we didn't think of that. No, our concern was more of making sure we had it done.
Because now, for some reason, Easter eggs are like 40% more expensive and there's 40% less in each container.
It is.
They not only hit us with the shrinkflation, but they also inflated the price.
Fucking just cunts everywhere, man. It's brutal.
They got us coming and going.
And then you've got to pay extra fuel to get to these stupid fucking eggs and it's bullshit. But yeah, so we're actually prepared this year. There's not me frantically buying a bunch of Easter eggs on the night before, which has happened many years in the past. So I do appreciate that.
Each week, it's still expensive, though. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so Phoebe in the chat. Yeah, I do only buy them on special. You should just keep an eye out for the specials as well, which is much appreciated. But yeah, no, it worked out well. James had my son for the weekend, and he had a great time. So we also had Phoebe's friend Zoe, like one of her longest ever friends. They've been friends since they were in like primary school or whatever. And her son and the boys, they had we were originally going to go camping, but then with my casual work, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, like, I don't know whether I'm going to work. And if I do have a shift, I'm going to fucking take it because a double pay as a casual, big win. Didn't end up working.
Do you usually do weekend shifts?
No, but like Friday and Monday, I would have normally worked.
Yeah, but could you not have just camped like from Friday afternoon to Sunday afternoon?
Oh, yeah. But just like we weren't sure what was going on. And there's a couple other things that were into account as well that meant Phoebe needed to be home.
I'm struggling to picture you roughing it, to be honest.
But, well, that was kind of the idea. Like, it's not really my interest, right? Like, camping.
This is how it would have happened. You would have been like, hey, Max, I'm going camping. I'm like, cool. Can I have your pro for the weekend so I can play Crimson Dead for real?
I'm like, here's where the spare key is. Just come in and have a play. But yeah, that was the idea. I was like, cool, because the original plan was a bunch of Phoebe's friends were going to get together and do some camping and hanging out.
Some bush duffing.
Yeah, but with the challenge of fuel price and whatnot, and we had some things that we needed to be ran for, so we chose not to. But the boys, they got to camp in the backyard, the old classic backyard camp as a kid. Everyone's done it before. And similar to yourself, I know how you mentioned that, you know, Hadley's finally sleeping by herself in previous weeks with this new bed. James is in the same boat, right? He's always been a co-sleeper, and we've never had an issue with it because, for me, if he feels safe, if he feels comfortable, then that's what counts, right? It's just sleeping, right? Easy done. And, you know, I also know that there's a time when he'll no longer need it, and then I'll be sad. So, like, well, until he doesn't need it anymore, we're all good. So now he's starting to sleep by himself as well, which is great. And, yeah, first time here out the back with Hunter. It was awesome. He had such a blast. He was so happy. So, so happy. It was good Eastering. It was really fun. It's quite good. But outside of Eastering, man, how's your week been? What's been happening?
Not much. I mean, school wrapped up. So Hadley had a fun run this week.
Mm.
Oh, so went and watched that. Apart from that, not much has been happening this week. It's been pretty chill week.
Mm.
My sister came down over the weekend so Hadley could try on her dress for the wedding.
Yep.
And her shoes, which are too big for her. So Hadley's devastated because she loves these shoes for some reason. She's been trying to wear them everywhere, but they're like three sizes too big. So they just fucking slip off her feet. I'm just like, you cannot wear them for the wedding. Like, it's just...
When's the wedding?
In a month.
Well, yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. I was like, oh, maybe you could work around it, but no.
So we went out today and bought her some new shoes to wear. Even though my sister's like, I couldn't care what she wears. She can wear her bright fucking pink running shoes if that's what she wants to wear. Mm. My sister's like, I'm wearing fucking Converse under my wedding dress. I don't give a shit.
Having met your sister, it makes sense.
So, but Hadley's like, no, I want to wear pretty shoes because I got a pretty dress. I'm like, whatever, fucking.
Hey, look, she gets to be
make
pretty.
Make us spend money, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, not much has been going on. What about yourself?
No, not much as well. I think. You know, I recorded some commentary earlier in the week. No, other than that, it's been a pretty low key. Wait, one thing we did do this week, might I add, after watching Dodgeball last week, just because this week we went down that similar vein and we ended up watching Euro Trip again.
Oh yeah,
that movie still holds up. Like, it's actually pretty funny. Because I ended up watching his video on YouTube. It was like, why this movie got butchered by the studio. And you realize that it was kind of set up to fail, which is a big shame. And they talk about how, like, the script alone was purchased for, like, $4 million. Because they thought the script was that good. So I don't remember it being that good. And I watched it again. I'm like, nope, it's pretty fucking good. I liked it quite a lot.
With that Matt Damon cameo.
Oh my god, it's such a good cameo too, man. Like, it's very funny. Yeah, oh, so good. Like, it does. There are some parts that don't age well at all. Like any good comedy movie from like the late 90s, early 2000s. But it's a good vibe. Like, it's a shame that a lot of the people that are in it never really did anything else. And of course, the late Michelle Trachtenberg, who passed away recently, was great in the movie.
I recently rewatched Weeds.
Oh, dude, we tried to watch that the other week, and we watched the first three episodes. I'm like, this is not like as good as I remembered. And then, because I made it up to season three, I think, when it has a rapid, like a quite a strong pivot. in the story.
Yeah.
And then I stopped, and this was when I stopped caring. How'd you go? Did you go through all of it?
I finished them multiple times.
Yeah. Because I like the boss or like the mayor or whatever, because he's good in, was like Grandma's Boy and stuff, and like in all those Happy Madison movies. But yeah, no, it did work for me the second time. Well, I guess this time around. But it still works for you.
Never got to the point where Doug becomes a priest in an RV?
No.
In an RV church?
No, that'd be awesome.
And they travel the countryside making hash in the Jesus bus.
No, what I ever got, the farthest I've ever gone was, yes, I think it's end of season 2, start of season 3. They end up going like interstate or international or something.
Yeah,
and it's a real like, and like the main black guy in it is recast or not in it, and it really kind of throws off the chemistry. Yeah, it was weird.
He never gets recast.
I'm thinking of something else then. I don't know. Either way, it didn't work for me.
That's Iron Man and Iron Man 2, buddy.
Oh, what an accidentally racist comment. I'm like, yeah, they didn't they cast him? I was like, no, it's the same black man this time. It's actually the opposite. Normally you think it's the same one, but it's a different one. Oh, man, the rain just kicked in. Luckily, we packed down that tent earlier because we weren't going. So I'm like, I'll do it later. And then we thought it might rain, so we made the good choice.
Good call.
Speaking of good choices, maybe this week we made some choices to play some games. Max, is Crimson Desert still a good choice for you?
Yeah, look, I'm still playing heaps of Crimson Desert. Turns out I accidentally unlocked the magic. I'm not quite sure how to use it yet. There are some button combinations that you press once you've unlocked the skills, and things happen,
mm-hmm.
but they don't seem to flow quite as naturally as I would like. I've completely changed my build. I'm no longer using sword or swords and shield. I'm currently working towards becoming the bare knuckle boxing champion to get a certain pair of gloves so I can just fisticuffs my way through. And when in doubt, I now have a bow build where I almost have pure unlimited arrows due to, like, there's things in the game called Abyss Gears. Think of them as, like, rune words or gems that you would slot into items in, like, Diablo 2, for example. So they just give bonuses to the weapons that you're using. One of them is a 20% chance to refund arrows when they get shot. I have a bow with 5 slots. I have 4 of the 5 slots filled with a refund arrow. So if I get one more of those bad boys, I've got unlimited arrows. And I'm currently using explosive arrows, and I can shoot 10 of them at once. So I just kind of walk into a pack and just go and just explode everything and then walk away. It's coming in handy in some of the boss fights because you can slow down time, mark the target 10 times, and then you just instantly shoot 10 arrows at him.
Mm-hmm.
Explosives deal high stun damage, so they normally get staggered, that I can just run up and just punch him in the face a couple of times, do a finisher, get out, rinse and repeat. I stumbled across... I was just doing some exploring the other night because I needed to find materials to upgrade all my equipment, and I found this island in the middle of a lake that is just filled with every type of ore you could possibly need. There's a fast travel point right fucking next to it.
Boom.
So every seven days in game, they all refresh. So I just go back there every 7 days of game nice. Time. Just fucking loot all the mine all my rocks and get out. But other than that, the game's still rad. I'm now in chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 12 or 13 chapters total. I'm about 80 hours deep. And yeah, I think I mentioned it last week, I kind of just set myself a goal as to what I want to get done during the play session, whether it be upgrade gear, find new gear, go to a side boss, whatever that may be. I've almost filled out all of my, like, the Sky Islands, the Abyss. I've done almost all of those puzzles that I currently have access to. So my character's, like, pretty decently leveled up, because every time you complete one of the sky puzzles, you get a perk point. So I've almost filled my perk tree entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Someone recommended to me that I use one of my cores to reset my skill tree, because it turns out that if you observe a skill that's learnable, after you've already paid the point, you can refund all your points and you will keep that skill because you've observed it. Ah. So I probably have like a few spare skill points if I was to do something like that. So that might be worthwhile. But earlier today, I started playing, last night, I'm like, I need to take a break from Crimson Desert. And I reinstalled Persona 5 Royal because I never got around to finishing Royal. So all the extra content that they added. And then I very quickly fell asleep last night because I was fucking exhausted. But this morning, I found all my old CD keys for the old Harry Potter PC games. I downloaded all of them, used my CD keys, installed them all, got them. I've got 1, 2, and 3 working.
Mm-hmm.
3 was a bit finicky. I ended up having to download and manually patch my game because the first encounter is just broken. for some reason, it's just the game just doesn't work. So I had to like manually patch the engine files for it to work. But oh my god, I only ever played 1 and 4.
Mm.
So it's been interesting going back and like they have not aged well.
No.
The Philosopher's Stone runs at like 640 by 480 and uses the directional buttons to move as opposed to like, it's so bad.
Like I have a good story about that. I remember when it came out, I remember playing on PlayStation 1. I hired it from Network Video in Traralgon, and I remember how like I got it for a couple of days because I was just like so keen. And I remember I was with my dad and my sister, and we went holidaying somewhere with some of dad's work friends. And I remember taking the PS1 with me just so I could play fucking Harry Potter because I was waiting too long to play it. And I spent most of the time in the little side room playing games. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And that game was quite entertaining at the time. I imagine not so good now.
It is bringing back a lot of nostalgic memories. Like, I'm contemplating playing through all of them. I'm even contemplating streaming it and just playing through all of them because I don't think it'll take me long to do them. They're probably really short games.
Oh, I reckon they would be, yeah.
But I think it'd be a blast.
It would be. It'd be fun.
On the lead up to HBO's release of
Christmas,
I'll play through all the fucking shitty games.
And not the Hogwarts Legacy again or anything. Like, just like no, we'll do the Harry Potters again. Well, speaking of like returning to an old way of doing things, so as people will maybe remember, last week, just before the increased prices of the PS5 Pro and the PS5 in general, I made the bold decision to pick up a PS5 Pro. So this week, I made the conscious effort to go back to games that I had played that are PS5 Pro enhanced in hopes of seeing like, okay, what is this difference, right? Like, I've spent the money, let's actually prove whether it's worth my time in like a more in-depth way. I think I mentioned last week that we went and dicked about in Ghost of Yotai because obviously Phoebe was a big fan of that, which was really fun. So we were able to see quite a substantial difference in texture quality. I felt like if you go into the photo mode and you really zoom in on like the masks or the, you know, the shirts, whatever, the attire, costumes, whichever, like there's a lot of brilliant detail that really come through. And as I mentioned last week, what I'm finding the biggest difference and increase with the Pro is around lighting and shadow quality and ray tracing, etc. So yeah, the way ambient light from a fire, you know, works in the space is beautiful, and how it bounces off things, and even just running across a field on the horse, and you know, you run through the water and how the water splashes, and how you know, like the shit particles through the air, not shit particles, but you know, shit like particles, sort of run with you, go past you as you run. It looks fantastic. And this is where I made a decision, Max, and it was kind of a bad decision because I don't really have the time to return to this game. But I went through the list. I went into the PSN, or what was formerly known as the PSN, the PlayStation Store, and I had a look at the list. There's that little tab at the bottom that's like, here are all the games that are PS5 Pro enhanced. So I made a list on my phone. I literally like got into my notes and I was like, okay, well, these are all the the PS5 Pro enhanced games that I have access to. It's quite an impressive list. But big thank you to many, many years of working in the games industry that's allowed us to do this. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to like sort of have a flick through and find ones that are interesting. The first one, because I had it still installed, and I messed with it a little bit, but not too much at the time. Well, not as much as I would have liked to. And with Starfield right around the corner, like literally in the next couple of days, I think it's tomorrow actually, time or day of this goes up. I dove back into the Elder Scrolls Oblivion. I'm like, all right, how much can the PS5 Pro really work for it? Yeah, it's quite good. Still quite good. A lot of it is...
Go ahead. I was going to say, I can't make that comparison because I played it on PC.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I remember, like, it looked pretty good. You know, It still had that weird uncanny valley that they've really, seemed to have locked onto by simply re-rendering over the old... old framework, I guess, you know, with the old game. So faces are still janky. Once again, it's the lighting. Like when you're in those caves, it's fun as fuck because it's when it's dark, it's dark. It's lit, it's lit. Like the way torch light fills the room and so on. It's what?
Sorry, you're just like when it's dark, it's like when it's lit, it's lit. Lit.
Yeah, I forget the kids have different words for things. Yeah, and I'm enjoying that. And very similar to, I think it's filling a void, Max, and it's similar to the void that I got out of like the Elder Scrolls Online, right? Where like it's just something about the Elder Scrolls world, I fall in and I love it and it's easy and I just fall into the same routine of like, I buy my little house in the Imperial City or whatever, like at the waterfront. You can buy a little house. I get my shack. I buy all the shit. And my this storage containers for all the weapons that I find as I go adventuring. This is for all my potions that I find, all my scrolls or whatever that I don't need. And I have it all set up. I'm just going back through those motions, just off and exploring the world. And look, thoroughly enjoying it as well, which makes it even better. But with Starfield right around the corner, I do hope, we'll hope to reach out to the local PR team. Might be able to dick about with that because we did dick about with it on PC back in the day. It would be fun to test it on PlayStation. And during all of this, Max is in our group chat being like, motherfucker, how about you play some other games that we were meant to be playing, but now it's pro-supported, so there's your excuse, you bitch. and that game in particular was Metal Gear Solid Delta Remake, whatever. I don't know why you had such a fascination to be like, play that game, you fucking...
Because neither of us really played it.
That's true.
And I'm like, it was PS4, PS5 Pro enhanced. Go use that PS5 Pro. Go.
Yeah.
Do it.
It looks great, as expected.
Because Snake Eater is my least favorite of all of them.
Mm.
And it's because it's just the start. It's a really rough start because it just fucking info dumps a bunch of bullshit at you real quickly. And I've tried a couple of times to go back to it. I'm just like, I can't do it. Mm. So I was hoping that you on your PS5 Pro push would be like, I'll check it out. I'll check out all the enhanced features. And then you just sent me some screenshots of like, yeah, they're enhanced.
Yeah.
They're featured.
I had played it again semi-recently when I was looking for a game to sort of fill some time over the holiday break. And I got up to, it's quite early, it's like an hour in, 2 hours in or something, because I'm just going from the new save that I made. Pardon me. And it's quite funny, because I boot the game up, go from that save, and I'm like, all right, let's see what these PS5 Pro enhanced features are. And it's the scene where you meet Eva for the first time, and it's just, she rocks up on her bike, does a cool like side shoot sweep thing with her gun, which once again from a lighting perspective, really cool. The way the muzzle flash, whichever, from the shots, really the way they lit her up, lit the space up, really, really cool. And then she proceeds to stand up, walk forward, unzip her shirt, and there's cleavage. So they were, that cleavage, I presume, was quite enhanced. Naturally, I don't know, I assume. But it was a good use of the PS5 Pro. Not a good selling point to Phoebe, however. She's less interested. But yeah, the game looks great, plays great. What else? What else have I messed with? Let me do a quick check. But I'll let you know the other ones that I have reinstalled as well. One of them being Returnal, I've reinstalled. Baldur's Gate 3.
Ahead of Sarah.
I've reinstalled. Nice. Yep. Alan Wake 2's on that list. I probably won't play it again because I've played it a lot. Like God of War Ragnarok. Expedition 33 is still on the cards. Played more of that today. And I'm sure there'll be some other things as we move in. What's up?
There are some PS5 Pro enhanced PSVR 2 games.
Oh, well, like what?
Kayak VR.
Don't have that.
Nomansky.
Oh, I don't have Nomansky.
Okay, many other titles.
Mm.
Gran Turismo 7.
Yep.
Resident Evil 4 and Village.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, while we're in this kind of middle space of game. The lighting in here is so great. Watch me poop myself. Yeah, so I'm wanting to sort of each week I'll dabble into a title that's on the PS5 Pro Enhanced list just to try suss it out, and you know, if I do an episode talk about it every week, maybe I can round it off of my taxes. That'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, so I'll see what next week is. I might finally return to Alan Wake 2 again if I can get myself off Oblivion, or if Starfield arrives, maybe I'll jump into that. But what they're like, this is going to be likely the most first world problems complaint, Max. So there's a game that we got a review code for. It's very much a Betson game, right? The game's a couple weeks out, so I'm not going to tell you what it is, what you're doing it, or anything like that. But because it is not out yet, you know, the trophy lists are not available. There is no one that we can talk to. There's nowhere that we can check. So here I am, sitting at 97% max on these trophies, and I have done everything that I can possibly think of, and it is killing me. Like, it's not a game that everyone's going to be running to get the platinum for, right? It's not going to be this big, honking, impressive game.
But did you email the developer?
No, I will. That'll be tomorrow's job, I think.
I also
want to email them being like, hey, can I have your trophy list? Because I'm missing one, and it's annoying.
This is my hope and dream, right? You email them. You're like, look, I'm loving this game. I'm 97% done. I'm missing one trophy for that plat. Can you please either let me know what it is that I'm missing? Can you, you know, is there a trophy list that I can see? What I want the response to be is day one patch.
I reckon that's what it will be, because there's not much I can think of, right?
So
it has to be like, you know, yeah. Obviously, I can't go into specifics because of the embargoes, but. Oh, it's itching me, man. It's bumming me out.
That's great. That's funny.
It's very, very frustrating. Was something else I want to talk about? Yeah, I've also got access to a couple of things. There was a game called Burger Boys that I checked out at PAX a couple of years ago. Got a play test for them to mess about with. House Flipper is getting a remastered collection.
Dude, House Flipper's free on
PC.
Free.
Yeah, that's what made me think about it. So I claimed it for free on the PC because I have played living shit out of that game on console. And then while I was downloading the free version, which is the old version, they were like, hey, do you want to try the playtest for the remastered collection? I'm like, yeah. So I clicked the link, and sure enough, I got approved. So that was downloading in the background earlier. I'll tinker about with that because I love House Superman. But admittedly, the old one did look a little bit like shit. It did have that very strong double-A jank. And it does, the remaster does look quite pretty. But yes, Max, because I know that we'll talk about it before. You have also returned to Returnal.
I installed it, I want to say, maybe a month ago. Just to like redabble, like reacclimate myself to the craziness. Saros is obviously one of my big games that I'm looking forward to this month, dropping on the 30th. Cannot wait. I reinstalled it on the PC as well. Because my original plan was I was going to go back to get that plat, because I was so close to like finishing the, like doing the overall thing.
Yeah.
But I cannot remember if it was, I checked on both my own profile and on the PopC profile, but both of them seem further away than what I have in my memory. So I'm like, where the fuck did I play this?
There's only two places, that or PC. And I know you didn't play it on PC.
No. So maybe I was a bit further than I thought. But I've dabbled. I've definitely lost my reaction speed that is needed. So all these articles coming out saying it's a bit easier, it's a bit more accessible, I'm like, that might be helpful.
Yeah, so I had the same idea. Aside from it being a PS5 Pro enhanced title as well, that was one of the reasons it made the list, but also with Saros right around the corner. You know, I always tell the story that the only time that we've ever been asked whether we could be quoted for a trailer, for an accolades trailer, was for Returnal, where I said, this game's dope. And they wanted to pull that for a quote. I was like, sure, go ahead. That's rad. Why not? Never did. Probably because the week after, I was like, fuck this game. This game's really hard. I hate it. So booting it back up over the weekend, my stance is still the same of like, it's really fucking hard. And I still don't enjoy the complete roguelike design of it. In that, every time you die, you get fuck all. Like, that bums me. Like, it doesn't entice me to keep going because I don't have the skill to get far enough to have the option for anything that rolls over. Now, I was going to start the game again entirely, but then when I booted up my save, I had like the little pull cord thing, little grapple hook, and a couple other little things that I had. Like, in my ship, I can talk to some of the screens. I forget what they could do, so I might need your help, but they're available to me. So I'm like, well, I don't want to start again and lose all that, because looking at the time, I think I put like 25, 30 hours in the first time. And like, for some, whatever reason, I've tried to like jump into that little, in the first area, like there's a vault and there's something you fight in the vault. That thing kicks my ass a lot. That's very annoying. Or trying to get back to like the various realms. I think I got up to the third biome originally, and then I just couldn't get any further. So we might have to do multiplayer just so you can carry me, I think. Because I do want to see more of the game.
I don't know if I have the skill these days.
Fuck.
Because you are right. It is punishingly hard. And like, if you don't get decent roles, you're just kind of fucked. Like the things you want to look out for on the weapons for rolling is like leech life. So every time you hit an enemy, you gain health.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're big ones. You can get a homing rocket if you can get a rocket launcher with like homing ammunition. It's just a free win because you just fucking spam it. You hold down, shoot,
and just worry about dodging. Yeah.
There's a few guns that are like guaranteed pickups for me, and there's some that are just fucking, I won't even touch with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
But yeah, because it's RNG, like you may never see what you are good at, and then you just kind of fucked. Like it is pretty brutal.
Yeah, and like part of me is like, well, do I start again because then I can remember all the things that I've forgotten? And the answer is I don't think I'd remember what I'd forgotten anyway. Like it would just be more frustration if anything.
Well, it would kind of like re-tutorial you.
Yeah,
is it the benefit.
Yeah, the game because a lot of it's by chance, right? Like as long as if you can just re-tutorialize yourself on the individual bits.
Well, I think the first, like the, I don't know, maybe. I don't remember how it kind of onboards you, to be honest.
Not well, from memory. It just kind of keeps going. But, yeah, with Saros right around the corner, as you said, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, they talk about that in some ways it is built to be easier. There are some rewards. You can balance the difficulty in a different way to be a bit more appealing. So it's very possible that, yeah, like we will certainly be trying to check out Saros, hopefully in the coming weeks, or at least when it drops at the end of the month. So be sure to keep an eye out for there. But one thing you're going to keep an eye out for right now is the section that we call Inform the Plays. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, not a super busy week.
No, not really.
There's a couple things.
So the first one is Sony CEO outlines their shift to entertainment with PlayStation 5 being the must be best place to play. So Sony CEO Hiroki Totoki gave a rare English language interview with Bloomberg. They discussed the company's transition from consumer electronics to entertainment. Mm-hmm. They briefly spoke about their Bravia TV business being spun off. They are now working with China's TLC. I believe it was.
Yes, it was.
Totoki emphasized that PS5 must be the best place to play. He also admitted that he's not a big gamer himself and that this shift does reflect broader industry changes overall. And it kind of makes sense. What was it, like 60% of Sony's revenue comes from PlayStation?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a huge part of their business now, like more than it ever has been.
So, you know, it makes sense that they're transitioning from, what was it? Consumer electronics to a more entertainment focused, you know, way of life. And then obviously with how everything's going between like the stock shortages, the global economy, they're kind of doubling down on there. Well, you know, if we're going to sell one big ticket item,
yeah,
let's make it the big ticket item that's making us the most money.
Yeah, like it's a bummer that there's a you know more consolidation in some ways with the TLC Bravia stuff. Like Sony TVs for the longest time have been pretty well respected, but over the last handful of years, oh, Kevin's back. Hello, Kev. What's up, Kev dog? Look at that little Kevin.
Yeah, he sits up in the mess of cables behind my desk.
Yeah,
and I'm worried that one day he's just gonna rip something out.
Yeah. She's happy to chill and get some pets. Yeah, so like, you know, with LG and Samsung really being the most prevalent in TV these days, it's undesirable mergers and acquisitions and whatever. But okay, it's just once again reaffirming that they knowing what works, they want to remain. The strongest pace to play in your lounge room, hence all the PC removal stuff that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. You know, I think this is an extension of that. They're just realigning what Sony is in this new market, I guess. Because the longest time we've talked about how during the whole Game Pass, you know, establishment and sort of its main run, I know I made a lot of comments around PlayStation sort of really relying on the old way of doing things compared to Microsoft, who were actively heading into a new way of handling everything, whether it be exclusive studios, etc. I think this is the best way for Sony to pivot to allow for this new way of doing things while also remaining somewhat true to what they've done in the past. They're trying to give the best of both worlds, I'm sorry. And we're very curious to see how that comes to fruition, I guess. But yeah, as I said, him being a big gamer himself, sure. Why not? Doesn't need to be. Let's get into this next piece of news. Sony is continuing to remove crappy PS5 and PS4 games from the store, including Jesus Simulator. Sony continues its aggressive delisting of poor quality games from the PlayStation Store, with hundreds more titles have been removed this week alone. News comes from PSN Profiles, which is, you know, where a lot of people go and get those little shitty platinums. Even they're like, nah, these games don't count anymore. And they're letting them know what is pinging and not pinging on the back end. Sony has delisted thousands of cash grab games up this year so far, and it is a big part of Sony's crackdown on low quality software flooding the store. Now, Jesus Simulator, it's on access on Keymailer, and you being like, yo, you like sim games. Why did you not want to play Jesus Sim? Maybe this is why, Max.
Yeah, it would have been a good fitting time to play it though, over Easter. It's good. There was so much crap just in the PlayStation Store. It's a nightmare. It's nice to know that there is some form of quality control happening. Is it too little, too late? Excuse me. Or is it better late than never?
I think it's better late than never. But
I agree.
For me. And I think you might be the same, because of the nature of what we do. So we're always looking at what's coming out or what's out, like in that, you know, not what's been, like it's very now and into the future. So whenever I do jump onto the store, outside looking for something specifically, I normally just jump into like, what's the newest releases, and then sort by date. And then, yeah, I have to sift through a whole bunch of shit to find whatever the thing I'm looking for is, but it's never been such a
diamond in the rough.
Yeah, but it's never been such a detriment of being like, oh, this is so apparent that I can't find, pardon me, anything I'm looking for. But I do understand that for many smaller games that are coming out, not everyone is going to try to look through the store the same way that someone like you or I would, or any of what would be considered the hardcore, switched on,
sure,
pay attention folks. So it's more of a larger quality control. It doesn't impact my store usage in any way. As someone that I don't buy these games to get my shitty platinums, I always enjoy getting trophies, but I like earning them in games that I care about or games that I'm actively playing and trying. Like, I don't need to be like, well, I'm going to get sushi jumping, whatever, because I want to get the most amount of platinums that I possibly can. Not interesting for me at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's kind of this weird middle ground, right? Like, yeah, cool. We're the right people to care about this, but we're also not. One thing we should care about though.
Ooh, analysts are predicting that $1,000 for the PS6 and a transition to game streaming. So industry analyst Michael Pachter made a controversial prediction about the PS6, suggesting that the PlayStation 6 could cost around $1,000 USD. Claims the future is moving towards game streaming, and here's the quote for that. Quote, I believe the prices are going to keep going up, and I think the solution to that is to get rid of consoles and go to streaming games on your TV. Someone is going to figure out how to play console games without a console, and we won't care. I've been predicting the end of console lifecycle for more than 10 years, end quote.
That doesn't give him any sort of credence.
No.
Because he's like, oh, I've been predicting this for 10 years. And you've been wrong for 10 years, my dude.
And it echoes the broader industry's debates about the future of physical consoles. We saw, you mentioned before, Microsoft trying to do new things. We saw them install Games Pass directly onto TVs. Mm. And you could stream your games from your TV. You have your controller work, and you can play your games via streaming. I don't think the physical boxes are going anywhere anytime soon. You look at the likes of the Steam Box is coming. You look at the likes of Project Helix from Microsoft transitioning into that all-in-one box where you can kind of play your PC games, your Xbox games, wherever. You're now playing your Microsoft games on a single device. Until we see what PlayStation 6 is doing, I would imagine they're doing the same thing. They're obviously bringing all their stuff back in-house. They're no longer working on PC ports. It's, if you want to play our stuff, you need to buy our box. So as far as the boxes are concerned, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. Do I think eventually streaming will become king and that's how we're going to be delivered with our games? Probably. I think the first step is to get rid of physical copies of games completely and go digitally entirely. And until that happens, I can't see a streaming-only future. But I have a feeling that that is the inevitability, right?
excuse me one sec. There it is, got it. I disagree and agree in some ways. I don't see the death of consoles anytime soon, especially had we not had all these RAM shortages and exorbitant pricings. I think I'd be like, yeah, that future's coming way quicker than we expect. But bang for buck, consoles are still the cheapest way to get into gaming, even though prices are the highest I've ever been for a console, right? Still, like buying a pre-built PC or building a PC of your own is going to get you into the 2000s, 3000s, and plus range, where you can now get a PS4 for its, even though it's more than it should be, for like what, $700. It plays everything without working. It plays everything without having to, like, you know, go in and tinker with things to make it work. It just goes. Now, granted, I've had my PC for the longest time, and I've never, you know, I always make jokes about drivers and updates and this, that, the other, and I've never really had to worry about it. Like, I just play, shit just works there. Sometimes it doesn't, and like that's when you do that little tinker. But PCs are relatively smooth, resistanceless experience for me. Streaming, however, games require too much immediate feedback. Press a button, you need that response to be quick. It's integral to how the game runs, and until they find a way to alleviate latency in streaming, streaming will never be the answer. As it had the future been where, you know, PCs are more cost effective, people would just get a PC for their lounge room instead, and, you know, instead of a Steam machine or whatever, which we know that's looking like it's going to be crazy expensive as well, streaming ain't the answer either. Like, the internet here in Australia is the best it's ever been, but it's still not the answer here. So maybe in certain parts, in certain areas, I think there'll certainly be a PS6. There may be a PS7. But after that, I think we'll be having a very different conversation. In terms of the costs, yeah. With everything being the way it is now, yeah. I do think part of the reason that the prices for things like, you know, the PS5 Pro, etc., were elevated so heavily, you know, by $200 here in Australia, is for when the PS6 does come out and it's an equivalent price, people are less confronted.
I both agree and disagree with that. I think, yes. Well, I mean, to put it this way, at the current exchange rate, $1,000 USD is about $1,450.
Yeah.
Australian. But I think the reason why they jumped the price by $200 in one go was to be like, well, let's do the worst case scenario. Let's say this is, instead of raising it by $50 this month, and then in 2 months' time going, that's still not enough, raising it another $50, and having the equivalent of four price increases in like 6 months, they're like, we're just going to do one big one. And if it turns out that we did it too much, we put them on fucking sale.
Yeah, they can come out with the selling point of, oh, you know, we're permanently marking them down, whichever, right? And on the chat, Dame Duty Dench comes in, well, if it isn't the best PlayStation podcast in town, that's right, in Geelong only. In the country? No. In the world? No. But in this town? Yes. Because there's no others. But also, my dude, fantastic to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. But yeah, look, the pricing, yeah, I think that's part of it. It's to absorb what could be future price changes. And I think a lot of it's, yeah, just it's a lot of trying to readjust the psychology of it for the players, pun intended. So when they come out and they go, hey, the PS6, $1,000. They're like, oh, well, the PS5 Pro was, you know, it's only, you know, $950 at the moment. So, okay, yeah, all right. And then they can then pull the price of the Pro down, pull the price of the PS4 down. They're like, you know, PS, they were $950. They're now $800.
They won't. If they were smart, they won't. They'll leave it and they'll be like,
oh, yeah.
Why pay $950 for the Pro when you can buy the next generation for $50 more?
Yep.
And then they stop this bullshit transition period of like 4 years for this. I mean, even now, some games are still kind of sort of releasing on the PS4.
Yeah.
Is like they're like, no, this is it. You spend the extra $50, we move to the generation, and we stop making shit for the older consoles.
K-Doll in the chat, shout out to Nanny K back here this time. She says she agrees. I'm not sure whether she agrees to our stance on.
I think she's agreeing with Duty.
With Duty, yeah, cool. Either she agrees with Duty or she agrees with our assessment of the pricing of PlayStations. I have a feeling it was the former. Definitely not the latter. Why not both? Says Dave. Do you ditch? Fantastic. What's next?
Gaby Slime in the chat. I wonder if they'll increase the price of games for PSX 2. I mean, currently here in Australia, the RRP for PlayStation games is $125.
Well, look, isn't there that dealio with Nintendo right now where they're the first to charge $80 for physical games?
No, they were trying to and they didn't.
They wanted to, though.
I don't think they ended up doing it.
It's interesting because like Nintendo feel like the only place that could get away with it realistically. There's just enough.
And they're not even selling you a real game. They're selling you a fucking download code on a card.
Yep.
It'll all depend on if Take-Two were like, we're charging $80 for GTA, you guys can fuck off and deal with it.
Mm.
Because everyone will pay $80 for GTA.
Well, see, the one difference that they have is that, yes, they have their custom cartridges, right? That costs money to make. And that's reasonable. Like, oh, well, it's more expensive because we have to physically make a thing. But I don't know. In the chat, Mute jumps in and goes, yeah, Nintendo doing a $10 price difference between physical and digital. And Duty jumps back in and goes, yeah, Metroid right now on JB is $89 with $10 off on sale. You know,
I mean, Nintendo games never go on sale.
No, they don't.
Like it's ridiculous. So, my kid's rolling the Switch at the moment, and she's like, "Can we please get the Kirby game?" I'm like, "Okay, I'll have a look." The Kirby game is still fucking $89.
Jesus Christ!
And it's never moved. I'm like, it's not even that good. but yeah, it's just one of those things. Like,
and Nanny K in the chat goes, "I agree with everything Max says."
And Nintendo like because they're so closed off and they have their own ball, their own playground, you kind of have to do what they want. Otherwise, you don't get to play with them.
Yeah, I do. I do believe you that GTA is going to be the decider. I think if they
GTA will come out at whatever they want to come out at, and people are just going to pay it.
Yeah, I'll pay it.
I don't know what the price would be where people would consider going. Maybe not.
Hundo US, I reckon, because that'll clear. Like what?
That'd be $150 here.
$150, yeah.
I know tons of people will pay $150 to play GTA. Yeah,
like, snaggling. But even on top of that, gaming has always been a boutique hobby. You know, there is a barrier of entry that is like hundreds of dollars, but it's always been relatively possible. Like, I remember, PS3... The PS3, I remember I lay-byed. I just started at university, so it was, what, early 2008? And it was $800, and I did, because the lay-by was 8 weeks. I remember I had to do $100 every week to get it in the 8-week window. But then I remember to PS2, I remember I did it with my Christmas money. I had like $250, and I could do that. Where these days, trying to get a PS5... just off your Christmas money. I don't know what fucking family you're from, but like, what an absolute change in how to look at it, I guess. Isn't that so weird?
I mean, to be fair, I also remember spending $120 to buy Final Fantasy VII on PS1.
Yeah, I remember paying about $100 for...
And now I'm still paying $120 to buy Final Fantasy VII on PS5.
True.
Times have not changed that much.
Yeah, I remember paying $100 for Resident Evil 4 at the Games Wizards in Traralgon.
Fucking Game Wizard. We have one of those.
What a shithole of a little store that was. That was fun. Next bit of news. Oh, it's me, innit? Where's you?
You.
Oh,
now it's you.
Fine.
Disappoint everyone.
Oh, The Last of Us multiplayer, Max, was 80% complete just before its cancellation. Former Last of Us multiplayer game director Vineet Agarwal revealed shocking details this week. He mentioned that the cancelled multiplayer was 80% complete before Naughty Dog pulled the plug. On top of that, he found out about it like a week.
Yeah.
Not even before it actually happened. The team has spent approximately 7 years working on the title. And the decision came down to choosing between The Last of Us multiplayer or Intergalactic, which makes sense. We talked about there's only a finite amount of resources that the studio could have used. That's what they had to do. And this revelation adds context to Sony's recent cancellation wave. And I think it's come down to like prioritizing budgets and expectations and time. But yeah, just kind of in a lot of ways affirms a lot of what we've speculated.
Puts the pressure on Intergalactic though, doesn't it? Because if it turns out to be fucking shit at launch, people are going to be pissed.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will. In that, sorry, I'm watching Kevin climb shit behind you now.
Motherfucker, hang on.
He's on them bookshelves. There he is. Look, there he is. Oh, there he is. Go, Kevin. Go, Kevin. I got distracted. Excuse me. My sinuses are a hot mess because I've not had all my appropriate meds today. Because I was being lazy. Oh, no, Kevin, sucking the cord. Oh, you crazy, Kev.
Stop it. No. No.
Everything's play because he's kidding. It's awesome.
Don't bite.
Yeah, so look, you know, what we sort of alluded to in the past was like, well, maybe it's an understanding of what the resource management is in that when they started developing this game, they didn't realize how much time they had to give to it. Like, well, we can't do this and Intergalactic. I guess we have to do Intergalactic.
Yeah, but I feel like it does put a little bit of pressure on it of like, people will be disappointed if it doesn't perform as well as they're hoping. They'll be like, Last of Us could have done better.
Yeah. But look, as I said, it is a bit of a bum. It's a bit disappointing, but we knew that there's only going to go so far.
All right. The PlayStation 6 handheld rumors are beginning to heat up again. So hardware snoop Moore's Law is Dead has suggested that the rumored PS6 handheld could be powerful. Component costs are rising due to AI company demand squeezing the tech space. Sony has reportedly still targeting a 2027 PlayStation 6 release, which is bad news for Ryan, who just bought a Pro. And the PS5 power saver mode has been linked by fans as a potential, quote, Trojan horse for handheld streaming gaming.
Well, that we've known about for a little while, about the energy saving mode. Been a big part of it. Now, Moore's Law's Dead has been a great resource over the last handful of years when it comes to the tech side of all of this thing. Very trustworthy dude. It is interesting how the AI stuff, the supply chain bullshit again, is going to impact all of this. You know, knowing that these supply chains were also impacted the PS5 at launch, been a different way. It just feels we're not winning. Oh, that Kev's going for the jug. By jug, I mean your hand.
Stop biting, you piece of shit.
would you buy a PS5 handheld?
No, not at all. I'm not
your
a huge
hands
handheld
for Kevin, but
I'm not a huge handheld gamer. I don't even like playing my Switch in handheld mode. It's one of those things. Like, if I'm gaming, I want to sit down. I want to relax. I want to have, you know, be comfortable. Mm. I want to be playing it the best way possible. So, and that tends to not be in handheld modes.
Yeah, look, I did do...
And it's not like I'm a big commuter anymore, so it's not like I'm going to be, like, you know, playing it on the train or whatever.
Well, that's... I was going to add the same thing. I was going to say, like, I did play a lot of Vita back in the day, but I was traveling a lot more, like, with, you know, catching the train to uni and to work and to things like that. So it's kind of how I would have used a remote console is very different. Even now with the Portal, like, the Portal is pretty much only used when the TV is occupied, or I want to play in bed, or, you know, so it's not used like at, yes, when I go traveling sometimes, if I know I'm going somewhere where the internet's good, I'll take it, but I don't know. Still unsure. Mute in the chat says a handheld, make sure not to use your own SD cards. That's true. The proprietary, the memory card duos. No, that was the first one. Either way, whatever the proprietary memory card that the Vita used really did cause it a problem, and that was mostly because the PSP was so easily hackable that they were had to lock down some way to prevent it from happening. But bit of a bummer. All right, we're on the home stretch now, Max. Quick bits.
I totally forgot to put in the news. I'll add it to the quick bits. Take-Two fired their AI department this week.
Yeah, all of them. All of them.
No idea if it's like generative AI only, or, you know, if it's the AI that controlled the police in GTA. Now the cops just won't come for you at all. You just
my presumption is they're generative AI, right? Because I don't think they're dumb enough to delete like all of their
all their NPCs just T-pose now. There's no cops will arrest you. People just stand in the streets, don't move.
It is interesting. Like, once again, we'll go on the presumption that it's the generative AI stuff, right? It is interesting to see that, you know, like, Sora's gone down, they're going down. Like, there is a across-the-board approach to the... I don't think the bubble's burst, per se, but I think a lot of big companies are realizing that we're investing all this money, yet we've seen no return yet.
Yeah.
So they slowly start stepping away. What do you think?
Look, if that's a possibility, and it's like on the back of, I think it was Claude this week, released its source files online of its own volition for some reason. So it's one of those things of like, when it gets there, it is going to be incredible, but it's just not quite there yet.
Although I did and watch the, a
and
video.
And like the public backlash of... The public backlash of what generative AI is at the moment is just not worth the trouble.
Like, I watched a video, excuse me, on Twitter today of like some banana beating the crap out of a peach with a bat, and I'm like, that's what AI is. Awesome, great use. I'm stoked about it. But what else is in the quick bits?
What else is with the quick bits? So the PlayStation Studios website have changed. The changes hint that Sony may be moving away from PC. We spoke about this a bit last week.
They're really doubling down if that's the case.
Ben Starr has joked that Marathon will beat GTA 6 as the game of the year because he's one of his co-stars from Expedition 33 is a voice actor for one of the Marathon characters.
Nice.
And he's like...
I think for many people, that will be a correct... That will be their belief. That Marathon will be better, but I think Marathon is a lot nicher than we all had expected.
Fucking stop it, dickhead! Leaked Elden Ring movie set reveals a real life Limgrave.
Did that do it for you?
Yeah, I haven't looked at it, to be honest. I totally forgot it was being made into a movie.
Me too. A24, isn't it?
Yeah. Uncharted fans have spotted a social post teasing a new PlayStation 5 entry.
Hells yeah. Let's go.
PlayStation has acquired machine learning specialists to achieve new levels of game visuals.
Oh, I hope they use it to add some visuals to that PlayStation podcast that they were creating.
God of War's OG Kratos has talked about reprising his role.
For the remakes?
For the remaster. What a dude. The remakes, yeah. Street Fighter 6 goes wild with its Ingrid World Tour trailer.
Sure.
Sure.
Easy done. Well,
on the back of their incestuous storyline.
Woohoo. All the best parts of the game. And these are the games that are coming out this week. We're on the 7th of April. That is today. Excuse me, at time of publishing. You've got People of Note, Peppered, an existential platformer, Sigma Star, Saga DX, and of course, Bethesda Softworks, Starfield. And I believe that does come with the Shattered Space as well, as big part of it. Lords of the Fallen will be on PS Plus Essential, as well as Sword Art Online, Fractured Daydream, and the Tomb Raider 1 to 3 remasters. On the 8th of April, you get Chainstaff, Incantation, and Occultist. On 9th of April, we get Arcadia Fallen 2, Beyond Words, Scout Fold, S-K-A-U-T, Fold, Moonless Night, Viscera Fest, Wrath, Aeon of Ruin VR.
I think that's just Viscera Fest.
That makes more sense. Viscera Fest, what I got out of there. 10th of April, you get Tamashika and Tiny Bookshop. And on April 2026, PS5 releases to keep an eye out for that are coming out in the relatively near future. Darwin's Paradox, you mentioned. Hades 2 on the 14th. Mouse PI for Hire on the 16th. Pragmata on the 17th. You are being cat attacked, something fierce. Aphelion on the 28th. And Diablo 4, Lords of Hatred, Invincible versus Ansaros at the end of the month. Kevin, you are in a mood, dude.
He's been sleeping all day, so he's awake now.
He is ready to fucking go.
He's got the 9 p.m. zoomies. Ow. Can you fucking stop biting me, dickhead? Simba.
Just Simba him into submission. there you go. Well, as, you know, all important moments, you Simba your cat, and that does lead us to the end of the show. Big thank you to all of you for joining us once again. Be sure to let us know your thoughts. Is there any particular PS5 Pro enhanced titles you want us to fuck around with? If you have any questions or any topics you want us to discuss, you can always jump in, whether it be in the comments below. Hit us up on our social media of choice. On your social media of choice. We're all there. You know, bit to and fro. You can be here on the socials, of course, on the stream, of course. Much love hearing from you. Max, let's get out of here.
All right, everybody, you know the drill. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Pardon me. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players.